We have a, and we're kicking it off now here in Los Angeles. It is 9 a.m. here in Los Angeles, and I'm just getting the IG feed going. I like to be streaming on Instagram and other platforms too, right, you know? TheHakeReport.com. Let me make sure that the video feed is going on YouTube. Press 1 if it's going great. Just getting my things together. I'm excited for some reason. I wonder if that's a good thing. About today's show. Have a lot of things to get to. And of course, your calls. Your calls take priority. Let me just make sure that we're going. Looks like it. Sounds like it. It's 9:01 now here in Los Angeles. Friday. Good Friday to you guys. March 29th, AD 2024. And you can call in if you're listening during the hours of 9 a.m. to noon Pacific time here in Los Angeles on Friday the 29th. 888-77-JESSE, 1-888-775-3773. I'm live on Rumble, YouTube, DLive, presumably Facebook, Kick, Twitch. What else? X. Shout out to the X. The one X viewer, my one X viewer, the faithful. I like it. So, nice. Right on. What will we cover today? Well, I do have an appearance coming up. I am going to be on Made by Jim Bob's Mixed Bag panel number 8. I was on his panel number 6 about a month ago, give or take, Made by Jim Bob. He's been on The Fallen State. And I'm going to be alongside the great Chad O. Jackson. So it will be a must-see Chad O. Jackson of Uncle Tom fame. He was on The Fallen State as well. Both those guys were on The Fallen State with Jesse Lee Peterson. And one Normal America with Rob Neuer. N-O-E-R-R, I think. So that'll be at 3 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time today is the plan. That would be 5 Central, 6 Eastern. And then run on over to American Anchor Baby and catch Hake later. Or catch Hake and catch American Anchor Baby later, because it'll be conflicting. Competitors. But what else will we be covering today? Different things. We'll see what happens. We'll see what I get to. Again, there's stuff that I am excited to touch on. No promises on getting to any of it. Okay? Let's just get right started with the show, guys. It's Friday. That's the AJ Gallardo original theme song. AJ Gallardo. Gallardo. Hope you enjoy it. Let's get going!
Oh, it's the Hake Report, the Hake Report, la la la. Oh, it's the Hake Report, the Hake Report, la la la.
Hey guys, I hope you are enjoying the AJ Gallardo
Gallardo
original theme song of the Hake Report. We play Trevor Wesley Monday through Thursday, and we're having fun.
Oh, it's the Hake Report, the Hake Report, la la la. Oh, it's the Hake Report, the Hake Report, la la la.
So, how you guys doing? I'm fine. I almost wore a different shirt today. Not that it matters to anybody. But I decided to wear this one, the big stick. The USS Iowa. Very cool thing, in my opinion. My unbiased opinion. I got it probably about 10 years ago. Going on about 10 years ago. Memorial Day in 2014 in... Where I think it was Memorial Day in San Pedro, not far from Long Beach, Strong Beach. So whatever. Let me get to a call before I get into the topics that I would like to touch on today, guys. You can call in 1-888-775-3773. By the way, no Joel Friday TV. He's live Monday through Thursday right after Hake. But after Friday, he is not live. On Friday, he's not live. We do have the Fallen State happening. Okay, so Jaime in Minnesota is on the line. What's up, Jaime? How are you doing, man?
Hey, doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing fine. Thank you.
Good, good. Hey, I was listening to the show earlier, JLP one, and yeah, they had the Elliot guy on there, and he was making some pretty good points, you know, kind of bringing up stuff, and I hope he calls in more because he's got something to say, you know. And
you're talking about a caller named Elliot who called in toward the end of the Jesse Lee Peterson show today, Friday the 29th of March, 2024.
Right. Right.
Cool. Yeah, I heard a little bit of it, I think. He was talking quite a bit, and Jesse had to wrap it up because of time. Yeah. But yeah, it was an interesting call. He sounded like a nice guy. What were one of the points or two of the points that he made that you
wanted to... it made me think about the whites, you know? What's going on with the white? You know, what's the whites issue? And I'm not a normal white.
Right, you're Hispanic white.
I'm not a normal white.
But, yeah, because you're Hispanic.
And if I was going to... what a nationality was, I would just say white.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm not very Hispanic.
Oh, right. Yeah. But regardless, you're not a normal white. Did you ever feel like a normal white?
I don't really think about it.
Yeah, that's fair.
I remember when I was a young man and I was getting my driver's license, and a Hispanic lady was teaching me how to drive. You know, my parents paid her.
Yeah.
To give me a driving lesson. And she had said something about, you know, we got to get the government to put, you know, Hispanic so we can check off that we're Hispanic or whatever. And I thought that was really weird.
Oh, yeah.
That was an issue for her.
Right.
So it was never really an issue for me.
Nice.
But when I get one of those, you know, what's your ethnicity? It's white and then Hispanic. I just, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But it's not really an issue for me, and I really don't think about it either.
Right.
But to the point of what Elliot was saying, I was thinking about it, and before I was listening to Jesse and his line of thinking, I really didn't think about the blacks at all.
Right, me neither.
These social issues were never in my purview, you know?
Yeah.
I remember being at the gym back in whenever Trump was running, and I remember, you know, they have the news on and they would have the debates, and I'd be watching that but not really paying attention,
right?
Because politics and issues like these, I didn't care, you know?
Yeah. And you were too busy assume, making money,
right?
Yeah.
And I have to assume that that's what it is, that the issue for a lot of whites. And I don't know if I can say whites or if I can only say non-whites, because I'm a non-white,
uh-huh.
Or not normal white.
Yeah.
But
you're using that to, because that's what I use. That's a term that I use.
Yeah, so that you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Hello?
Yeah.
What was did you have a question? What was the point? I missed
just,
it.
What is the problem with the whites?
Oh, what's wrong with the whites?
What's wrong with the whites? What's going on with the whites?
I would say a lot of us have become intellectuals and fearful and or afraid, same thing. And caught up with the world. Even the Christians are caught up with the world and becoming like what we hate. You know how whites, normal whites, Christians, do not like being lied to. There's this old saying, to make a liberal mad, tell him the truth. To make a conservative mad, lie to him. Might have been this other way around. And that's true, but we shouldn't be mad at lies. And because being mad at lies is the biggest lie. You don't have a right to be mad. And that's what's happened to the whites.
Right. Yeah.
Isn't that true? Because the whites are not making babies. The whites are... They're starting to blame the white women. Some of them are. Many of them are. And the white... And women, period, are just a mess, of course. But the... That's not going to help anything. Just blaming.
Well, it sounds like the same solution is the same. The solution is the same for everybody.
Yeah.
The blacks, the whites, the not normal whites.
That's why I like JLP, because when he would say stuff about the blacks, it would be stuff that I can relate to, because it's spiritual issues, anger, victimhood, all those things.
And I guess the Elliot's question that really kind of sprang out to me was why does it seem like Jesse or whatever is always harping on the blacks? But Jesse himself is black.
Yeah, I mean, that's what he knows.
Who does he know better than the blacks?
Yeah. But he's not always harping on the blacks, which
no,
is what's interesting about
he
it.
Isn't.
Is there's just sensitive about it.
I guess I should have said, it seemed like that's what Elliot was saying.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all he harps on. I don't think that he harps on them a lot.
The people who are sensitive, the people who are black, feel like he's always harping on the blacks. The people who are women think that we're bashing women 24/7. The people who are gay or pro-gay, first of all, many of them don't even listen to the show, but they think we bash the gays all the time. All the sensitive people are oversensitive and amplify different parts of the different things that come up in giving the message as if that's the message when it's not the message.
Right. And I guess what I think I hear from the shows is the spiritual message.
Right.
And I would say that that's what he's always talking about. He's always talking about something spiritual.
Yeah.
I guess it's all what each person is focused on. Inside.
There's always going to be people who are gleeful at hearing the truth about somebody else or hearing facts about somebody else and being like, yeah, get that, take that. Take that, black people. Take that, men. Take that, women. Take that, gays. So all that.
Yeah.
So who are you to harp on the blacks? Asks Karen Williams. I'm a man. Yeah. I'm in America. It's a free country. And the blacks is so entertaining to talk about. And so I've gotten quite familiar with the blacks over the last 10 years of, and then plus going to school in Pasadena, getting stuff stolen and stuff like that. But anyway, go ahead.
It's if a spiritual person would hear a spiritual message, or I guess
right.
What you were saying is whatever's inside of you is what you're going to pick up the most.
Yep.
And you're going to completely miss the rest of it.
That's a fact.
But I did remember that the Elliot caller, he had said that some of his family members were priests or pastors or something.
Yeah.
And if that's, you know, the fact, then how come the spiritual message is being missed?
Good point.
Or if that even matters for Elliot, I mean, that's his family member's life.
It yeah.
Doesn't seem to be like that's his life, Elliot's life, and maybe if he focused on the spirit, the spiritual message, you know, doing the prayer, forgiving the mother and the father.
Yeah.
You know, not harboring anger, seeing that anger is evil.
Right.
I mean, why not try it that way? Why not try it for a little while, you know, saying anger is bad. And if it doesn't work out for you, anger's always there. You can go back to it.
True. I do find that people fall into common sayings or common shallow points very frequently, And so it's predictable that we'll say stuff that's predictable but not true. And or on the outer appearance, it looks like it may be true, but they miss the truth by saying, oh, he just talks about, all he ever talks about is this. And it's an easy thing to miss. And I think it's partly because of people's getting caught up with identities.
Right. Okay.
Which is to say anger, like you said.
Wanted to see what other people thought about that, so I thought I'd bring it up.
Well, thank you, Jaime in Minnesota. Appreciate you, man. Take care.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. David in Ocala, Florida is on the line. What's up, David? How you doing?
Good afternoon, Mr. Haight.
Hey.
Hey, I just had to call in, man. I was going to call Monday about this, and since it was brought up, the whites are just sick of the lies and the bullcrap. If you really want to,
that's what
truth.
That's what I said. They're angry. They're falling for the anger and becoming what they hate.
Well, let me share with you one of the reasons why. I saw three racist videos on like TikTok in the last week.
Yeah.
Where, you know, they're either TV shows or parts of movies. One of them was there's this black guy going to paint a mural on the side of this coffee shop, and this white woman comes walking out giving the guy a hard time, you know, and all this and that. And then the owner comes out and she's black and tells the white lady she needs to go, you know. And it's, you know, I don't know any white women that act like this white woman that's portrayed in this movie or video or TV show, whatever it was.
Yeah.
You know, so they're out portraying all these white people. You know, they just can't let it go. It's everywhere. You know, all white people are so racist.
Right.
You know, and it's not true.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, you know, so true.
Well, I thought of this. The blacks need to blame their parents.
Well, they need to stop blame. Well, they need to realize it's their parents and not and drop the blame. Really.
Well, you know, they like to have the S word. Okay.
Yeah.
So they need to
keep
it in their pants and take care of their kids. They don't take care of their kids now. Of course, there's a lot of good black families out there that raise their kids right, send them to college and everything like that.
I don't know if that's good.
Know. Well, you know, you're right. I don't know if that's good. Okay, they send them to trade school and they become plumbers and stuff, okay?
Right.
But, they're good people, but the majority of them are totally out of control. You know, I mean,
their minds are brainwashed by the phony racism thing.
Well, what is causing these kids to break into all these stores and steal like this? What do you think? And then the stores are allowing them to do it. You know, some of these stores, if one of the employees step in, they get fired.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy. That's the mama culture, where you cater to the criminals, as though they're victims.
And what party is doing that? What party loves that? The Democrats, okay?
Of course. It's but like the Republicans are not much better. They're not any better, really.
Well, in a sense,
Trump is, but even he's fallen for some of that stuff, in my opinion. And I'm still voting for him. He's still the big man, the master. He should be the master of America. Crack the whip. But you're right. And maybe he's repenting from that, because he did call Kim Kardashian, what did he call her? Disingenuous. So, and she's the one who talked him into letting that black female drug dealer out early.
Yeah, well, you know, they don't go back. You know, Biden was part of that, you know, mandatory sentence and stuff back in the 90s.
I know, and that was a good
thing. That was jail.
And that was maybe a good thing. I don't know if it was a good thing or not, because it was bipartisan. So bipartisan nowadays usually means evil. So maybe even back then it was evil. But the crime was out of control. They had to do something to crack down on the crime. And maybe they...
Crack down on the crack?
Yeah, the crack epidemic had... Murders through the roof. It was insane. There was like double, triple, quadruple what the murders are today. Well, although the murders today are spiking again. So, yeah, it's crazy. I don't think that they pretend like those laws were racist or something like that. It just enforced the law, basically, yeah. Or punished crime, and the people who were committing the most crime per capita.
Well, I'll show you how delusional some of these people are that believe that Jesse Smollett, you know, contrived that story about, you know, getting a noose around his neck by two white people at 2 o'clock in the morning,
yeah,
going to Subway to get a sandwich, and the dude's still, the Supreme Court now going to hear his case.
Really?
The Illinois, I think it wasn't it in Chicago.
What?
Did it happen in Chicago? Yeah,
MAGA country. Illinois Supreme Court reported AP News 2 days ago is going to hear Jussie Smollett's appeal of his conviction for staging the racist attack. Wow.
Right, you looked it up. Yeah, I just punched that in last night and saw that because I wanted to see what the update was.
A racist and homophobic attack against himself.
Oh, yeah.
In 2019, no such thing as any
ridiculous.
Of that.
Yeah. You know, and then two guys come and say, the two brothers said he paid us, you know, and the guy's so stupid he wrote him a check. I mean, that's a brilliant guy right there.
Okay? That's funny.
Yeah. The whole thing is out of control, man.
Yeah.
I hate to say this, I just hope this country gets blown to bits, okay?
Whoa, I disavow that. Why do you hope the country...
I know you do.
Why would you hope that? Why would you hope ill for the country?
Because the wickedness, man, it's constant. I mean, the news media, I mean, people actually listen to this lady, Rachel Maddow, or whatever her name is, and MSNBC and all that. I mean, they believe this stuff.
Yeah.
You can see the spirit on these people. I mean, they are just wickeder than all wicked. You know, the ones that say, you're taking my rights away as a woman. I got the right to kill my child.
Yeah.
In my
womb.
Good.
Yep.
No. The whole thing, man. I mean, even this election thing that's coming up, you know, everybody's, you know, well, Trump's got to win and all that. Well, what's all that's going to do is postpone the inevitable.
Yeah, it's already over.
Give you 4 years. Huh?
You know, you're bringing up this Trump thing. How they say, oh, Trump is going to save the country. I don't. Is anybody actually saying that? Maybe somebody is, but I think of it as over, regardless.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe Trump can help turn things around for the better in some sense. But yeah, the people have to change, and the people are a mess. Including most
godless.
Of the Trump supporters.
Yeah, they're godless, man.
Yeah.
They're godless. They don't know God, okay? They don't know him. And they choose this way. And eventually what happens is God just turns them over to a reprobate mind. That's
Well,
why
I mean, that's already happened to most of us.
Right,
yeah.
Right. I know.
Yeah.
And listen to you. The older you get, the worse, the harder it is to come to God. Okay, you keep postponing, you people out there listening to this, you keep postponing getting right with God,
uh-huh.
And the older you get, the harder it is to come to him.
Hmm.
Yeah. You know, there's a...
It's the harder it is not to come to him, though, because it becomes harder, your life becomes harder when you're older than when you're younger, right? Like, you have less, I've talked about this, you have less margin for error.
Well, you know, it's like I say, you know why the churches are full of old people?
Why?
Because they know they're about to die.
Terrible.
Uh-huh.
Or maybe they're the only one, the old people are the only ones of their ilk who lasted long enough to be old.
Maybe that's not quite right. I guess so. But anyway, listen, do you see the stuff that I'm talking about on the TV with all this racism stuff, like I just said?
Of course, yeah.
I mean,
I noticed that they're pushing this fake idea of racism and smearing the whites all the time. Of course.
You know, I told you before, man, you know, I grew up in the South. I'd never seen a KKK person.
Yeah.
And And all those people that used to be hardcore racists that would use the N-word and stuff, them old white men,
yeah.
They're dead. They're gone.
And they weren't so bad anyway. They were probably they're probably what we need back in the country, maybe. That well, old school, cover your ears, kids. Your whole American call you out when you're wrong, speaking their mind type of people.
Well, that's,
who actually that's, were decent when you got to know them.
Well,
they just commanded
like
respect.
Yeah, my generation. I mean,
before
guys,
your generation,
we're about
I think.
Gone.
Yeah, true. I said before your generation, especially.
Well, they knew what was going to happen. They had an idea. I mean, look at all these black women that are caught, like we talked about before, that are causing all these problems. I mean, you know, how can you run Letitia James? I'm running. You vote for me because I'm going to take out Trump, okay?
Yeah.
I mean,
phony
you never
woman.
Would have heard something like that 15 years ago or 20 years ago. So anyway, listen, man, y'all have a great day.
Thank
and
you.
Listen, all white people are not racist, okay?
Are you all saying right? No? Are you saying no white people are racist?
No, I said not all white people are racist, okay?
Just
they're
most?
Not.
Just most?
No, I would say out of all the white people that I ever met, maybe 2% were racist. Out of the black people
that's
that I met, I would say it's about 25 to 35% are racist.
That's fair. I know what you mean. I think I would agree with you in your sentiment.
Right.
Yep.
All right, man. Y'all have a good day. Have a great weekend. Take
cool,
care,
man.
Buddy.
Appreciate you.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye. Joe in Phoenix, Arizona is on the line. Joe, thank you for calling. Are you there? Can you hear me?
Good morning, James.
Hey.
I've been extremely busy last week and a half. Couldn't have time to call you. As I told you, I've been asked to help out the 4-H group again. And
right on.
The kids wanted to do a beekeeping project this year. And oh my goodness, let me tell you what a hassle that's been.
Beekeeping, huh? Has anybody gotten stung?
No, we haven't even started yet.
Oh,
the
okay.
Insurance and the complaints, and we don't want bees in our neighborhood. Someone's going to get hurt. Blah, blah. Oh, my God. The red tape nightmare, Hank. I mean, and
yeah.
Oh, it's been an absolute nightmare.
Wild.
But that leads me to what we were talking about a week and a half ago about, you know, folks can't come into your neighborhood, you were saying, is a good thing. You know, 20-plus years ago, my wife and I were looking for a house to raise our kids in.
Uh-huh.
We looked for many reasons. First, I'll use my own neighborhood as an example. This neighborhood has a bunch of wonderful amenities to it. Number one was the 4-H group. 4-H is a wonderful, wonderful program. College scholarships, all kinds of knowledge and confidence and skill building programs for kids, and you have to be a member of the community to join this 4-H group. Not to mention that real estate is the number one legacy wealth building asset there is.
Yeah,
and I knew that these large lots, because they're multi-acre horse properties where we live, would appreciate more than the regular homes over the years. And I was right; it's been three times more than regular homes. So, and the higher property taxes lead to great schools, great police, great fire department, all of the above. So if you think I would give all that up just because some people are stupid enough to believe in skin color being a problem, you have to be out of your mind, Hank.
But think about it. You just talked about how property values are mm-hmm. are important for like wealth building because real property, that's land always is going to have some value. But land can drop in value if the people on and around that land are not quality people. And that's what's happened to many white communities. They had people who were not quality people who happened to be black or Hispanic or other, and that decreased the value of their property so that property value, that wealth, was destroyed. Can you sympathize with what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying?
No, not at all. Because first of all, not at all. You're stereotyping most black people. That's ridiculous.
I didn't even say most. I never did I say most or even all.
All right. But again, the main point is...
Did that happen?
That's what... No. That's what HOAs are for, James. That's the whole reason for HOAs.
Homeowners associations?
Correct.
Are supposed to keep quality people in and low-quality people out?
Keep standards up of the properties, absolutely.
Yeah, and so
the legal power to evict.
But this is what happened to White Town after White Town. And every neighborhood has not had an HOA to protect them. I'm not for these HOAs, by the way.
Almost every community has an HOA now, almost all of them. I wouldn't say all, but almost all.
But over the generations, since they pushed this integration over the last several decades, many white communities have turned into ghettos, and it was after blacks moved into them, and many of those blacks were low-quality people who were committing crimes and not picking up after themselves and not taking care of even the exterior of their homes.
So funny you say that, James, because again...
True or false?
That's totally false.
How are you denying stuff that's just plainly the truth?
Because you're making it up. Plainly, you're making it up. And again, I was over in the UK a couple of years ago and substitute the Irish for the blacks, and that's why still to this day they're standing. And I think you're part Irish, right?
Maybe. There's an Irishman in my family tree. I've been thinking about shaking that tree down. So yeah, there's a little bit of Irish in me. I'm more Scottish, I think, than Irish. And that's where might have gotten my red hair. Or Danish. I don't know.
Yeah, there's more Scotch with red hair than Irish, actually. I read that recently.
Interesting.
But
how are you saying that it's not true and made it up? I didn't make it up, first of all.
You can't point to a single instance of that happening. You're making that up, James.
Because I don't know any specific ones, but Asmodor has...
Exactly.
Doesn't... Exactly nothing. I know that it's generally the truth. I know that... For example,
general truths.
Well, general truths are truths, or facts anyway. General facts. It's generally true. It's a fact. It's a general fact that it's happened, man. The heck?
You thought more black men were in jail than in college.
I never thought that.
A general. You agreed with it. You agreed with it wholeheartedly.
See, now you're just making stuff up because you don't know what I agreed with or not.
I heard you agree with it when a caller called in and said that.
So you claim you just make up. You're making that up.
Nope. Okay, so we're going to accuse each other.
Yeah, because you're accusing me of something that's not true. Look at the different neighborhoods in Texas. One of my sources for this point that I'm bringing up about how white property value has been destroyed. You ever heard of white flight?
I've heard that phrase before, sure.
And that actually happened, right?
Nah, not as much as you probably think it did.
You don't know how much I think it did or not. Answer whether it happened or not. It happened. Yes or no?
I said yes, it has happened. Yeah.
All right. All right. So that's an example
gentrification
of...
Gentrification has happened, right?
Huh? Gentrification? Like, yeah.
Gentrification is happening.
Yeah,
now,
but that's
right?
A separate situation.
How is it? That's separate because it's white people moving in, right?
Well, white people moving in didn't destroy the value. It increased the value and, like, destroyed their ability to pay for the land that they were sitting on. It's a totally separate situation because you're changing the subject. And I don't know or care what your point is about gentrification. But I'm talking about, we're talking about land having value and property values going down. When crime comes into a neighborhood, a neighborhood's value goes down. And Asmodor has called into the Hake Report before and talked about how whites...
Asmodor
generational...
is a criminal. I don't care what he says.
Well, that's called an ad hominem.
Easily searchable fact about Asmodor.
That's called an ad hominem because
easily searchable fact.
Do you know what an ad hominem is?
I told you that word.
But I knew it before you told me. Do you know what an ad hominem is? That's a yes? You know what an ad hominem is?
Of course I do, yeah.
Okay, an ad hominem is when you attack the person and not address the facts that the person is bringing up. And the facts, the historical facts.
There are more blacks in prison than in college. So he's a known liar. Proven liar. Boom!
You're being immature. That's funny, though. Because yeah. I say boom as well. But that's not a lot. He's not lying. He was mistaken if he said that. And I don't know if he said that.
Lying. Nope, he was lying.
Okay, you're lying too, because you're pretending that this is not it. Let me just finish my point. He said that his father himself moved the family out of their home because the first black family moved into his neighborhood when they were doing this forced integration stuff. And so he came back to that town that used to be safe and beautiful and white kids playing even after dark. And now it's a ghetto and crime-ridden. So that is one example of white property values being destroyed and them having to move and be uprooted to protect their lives. And their wealth has been destroyed.
You can't trust what a criminal says.
That's dumb.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's dumb. You can't address something that's just plainly logically true with even a cursory knowledge of history in America and looking around you, and the typical black community is a mess.
Typical, really? You sure about that?
Yes, typical.
No, you're not.
Yes, it's typical.
There are plenty of examples of flourishing, upscale black communities.
And those are the exceptions and not the rule.
Absolutely not.
Yes, absolutely so. Look at all the major cities.
There are plenty of low-income ghettos.
Yeah, not just plenty, but it's the rule. It's typical.
Look at all the flyover states. There's plenty of poor white neighborhoods too, James, that are also opioid addicted and just suffering as well. So don't just put that all on the black.
But that's irrelevant to the point that I just made.
It 100% is relevant.
How is it relevant?
I'll give an example. You've heard of Sammy the Bull Gravano, yeah?
I've heard of Sammy the Bull. He was alleged. They called him a rat, but he was a mob guy, Italian.
He was a mob guy. He was the underboss to John Gotti.
Italian, right?
Italian, yeah.
Yeah, not a normal white.
Normal FYI. White, okay. believe it or not, When he turned rat, they put him in witness protection in a horse community near me, here in rural Phoenix.
Nice.
Of course, no one knew at first, but then the word got out because the idiot was dealing meth while he was on witness protection.
Sammy the Bull?
Sammy the Bull.
Okay.
But the community he was in, very upscale community, million plus. Dollar homes.
Yeah,
and when they found out about it, the community members, they were livid, and they tried everything to get Sammy the Bull out. And this was before he got arrested for dealing meth. But they couldn't do it because he was in witness protection. And again, folks have rights. You can't discriminate on people, even if they're criminals.
You should be able to.
Well, I mean that's an example of a real criminal who went on to do criminal things, and they still couldn't get him out of the community until he went to jail again.
So your answer is whites do it too, or something? But this is not a white; he's an Italian.
White people are Italians aren't white people, James.
They are not normal whites. They're not white Americans. They're white Italians, and we normal whites have had issues with the Italians because they're all into their Italianity. And the mob and all that stuff. You don't know history?
Very few Italian people are in the mob, James.
Don't I know, but they, but they're all, but way. They are into the being Italian. They'll get mad for me pointing this out. Even my Italian American fans are like, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? They get mad. You don't know this?
They are just as American as you and I, James.
Mm.
they helped build the country. They fought in wars. They're just as American as you and I. Yes, mm-hmm. they do love their heritage.
Fighting in wars is not anything. It's a moot point.
Does a guy who's never done anything close to that. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, why should I? Why should I fight in some dumb war? What? Name one good war in my lifetime that I should have fought in.
One good war?
Yeah, name one good war that America fought that I should have been in my lifetime.
Well, we had to go after Bin Laden, didn't we?
That was a good war, you think?
I wouldn't call any war good. Yeah. That's unnecessary.
Exactly. And we didn't have to go after Bin Laden?
No, I think we did, yeah.
That's irrelevant.
But back to my point, is that if you thought I would give up all those great amenities just because some idiot thought my skin color was wrong, you'd have to be out of your mind, James.
Are you dark black or light black or mid-tones black? I'm just curious. Can I dox your black black skin meter? Can I dox your color level?
Yeah, no thanks. I'll pass it on.
All right, so you value property values, but not for the whites.
And again, me moving in personally would not devalue anyone. In fact, it increases because I take great care of my property and all of the above. So.
That's nice. Thank you, Joe in Phoenix.
All right, James, you have a great day. I'll call again when I can.
You as well. Also, he's not a reliable person, FYI. Had to get that punch in because he said that somebody else was not reliable. You know what I mean? Jelly bean. Byron is in Oregon, a first-time caller. Byron, how are you? Is it Byron or Byron? Or Brian?
Byron.
Okay, Byron. What's up?
Yeah, how are you doing, man?
Doing fine. How are you?
I'm good this Friday. Just a few things, man. So, could we all just agree that everyone is racist? Everyone wants to protect their race and their culture?
Yeah,
It's every race has a certain person in their culture that's racist.
How about everybody is that?
I could see that. I could see that.
And what does that mean? What is racist?
To me, I feel like a racist is the person who wants to better their who will want to better their culture and their group of people. We all do. We're all racist. We all want the best for our group. The minute the media publish something where a person of our race is the victim, we all play the victim and look at this crime, look at that crime.
You gave me two examples or one description of racism that sounds good, bettering your culture of people. It sounds kind of good. And then you gave me an example that I feel was a bad example of racism, of where you're being, not bad as in a false example. I'm saying that would be, if you identify with somebody who's a victim, you feel like we're all under attack.
Oh, yeah, totally agree.
That's not a good thing.
Yeah, nah, totally agree with that.
So is it a good thing or a bad thing or both?
If you plan, I mean, at this point of time, in this life, in this moment of life right now, playing a victim right now is just like real bad. To me personally, just because it's like there are so many ways everyone could better themselves.
Yep. Even Sam Bankman-Fried.
Just your phone alone. I mean, me personally, we all have the opportunity to better ourselves with the phone alone.
How about the type of racism that's not playing the victim? What if there's like you just want to be a good example, be a light to your fellow whites or blacks or
Italians? I just came to the conclusion that I can't be mad at a white man for saying white power, because at the end of the day, I'm a black man who wants black power and black excellence too.
Yeah.
So I understand why a white man would say white power.
Right.
Now, as far as putting down another race, that's where it crosses the line for me.
I think that they both can be wrong and they both can be right depending on the situation. Because a lot of the times whites are called racist for saying something that's true or doing something that they have the right to do. And so those were, or whatever. Different people have been called racist for saying facts or discriminating when they have the right to discriminate. So those things are fine.
It's just, to me, is no one has room to talk on this planet right now. We all are, like, all of men, not saying, like, everybody, we all are dealing with something right now, that a skeleton in our closet. So no matter the race, you don't have the right to put down someone. Like, okay, perfect example, the DEI situation. I mean, to me, I don't agree with the DEI stuff. I feel like earn it, you dig?
The
DEI could be on both sides of the field of whatever race. Anybody could be a DEI.
Meaning, like, a white could be favoring the whites, whereas, or the people who feel sorry for the blacks could be favoring the blacks, or the gays, or the women, and all that stuff?
In a sense. I mean,
the men could be favoring the men, and the feminists, male and female, can be favoring the women?
Yeah.
I think that sometimes you don't want to favor somebody above what's right, though.
Respectfully, we're here to live off facts and not feeling. Totally understand.
You should respect somebody's right to discriminate, but you yourself, like, somebody has a right. If somebody's being discriminatory, they have the right to be discriminatory, because everybody discriminates.
Yeah.
And you want the right to discriminate, whether for right or wrong. But let's say right now everybody's excited about this black woman who has been attacking the, she's been criticizing Israel. And there are a lot of people who also criticize Israel. And some of these people who also criticize Israel are all taking her side, saying, well, I stand with her. And to me, that's lame, because one, she's a woman who shouldn't even be running her mouth about stuff. She should be being a mother and a wife and go sit down. And two, there's a company that fired her, and I don't know why, nor do I care. And they're like acting like this company is a hypocrite because they're not for freedom of speech. They're canceling this woman, but they have a right to fire her. And maybe it is hypocritical. Maybe they should not be against canceling and discrimination, because I discriminate and cancel and censor for what I think is right, and then the evil people discriminate and cancel and censor for what they think is evil, or for what they think is right, even though they're evil. So I want...
Now, the only reason I'm going to disagree right there, the only reason I'm going to disagree with that is just because all that to me sounds like infringement on my freedom of speech.
It isn't, though, because they don't have to keep you.
Totally, they could fire me. It's their business.
Yeah.
It's a contract in between them.
Right.
They don't have to hire me. I can go to someone else.
They never should have hired her in the first place, my opinion. They were wrong for hiring her. And maybe their reason for firing her is wrong, but they have the right to fire her. I don't care.
True.
It's probably the best thing for her. Maybe she can go home and tend to her children.
Hey, if that's what it... See, now, this is my thing. This is my question. When are we going to all put this aside and realize that we're being attacked as a country? This whole...
By what? By who?
Thing is getting played out, that we need to worry about our real... That the America, our patriotism is being attacked.
Our patriotism is being attacked?
To me, by our government, yes.
Yeah, I agree with you there. That's part of my issue, is that this company acts like it's fighting for America, and then this woman and the people who are criticizing Israel are acting like they're fighting for America, and now they're divided and fighting one another. Meanwhile, the truly full-blown evil people are laughing at us because they divided and conquered.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I want to know, when can we all just put that aside for a minute and focus on Homefront for a minute, like Homefront is being destroyed.
Yeah.
Before we worry about everything else outside or any other of the feelings of being involved right now. Everyone's being a victim and not being politically correct. Can we worry about Homefront right now?
I think that you can. The only thing you can do is be an example of not fall, not taking the bait. You know, it's because most people are still.
We all know everything is for a click.
I get what you mean. It's for some type of ego fulfillment. It's for money or for ego.
Push your agenda. It's to push their own agenda, regardless if you're left, right, up or down. Everything that's going to be posted is going to be posted for a message to be pushed.
Whether a personal, sometimes it's a personal agenda. It's not necessarily a political agenda.
True.
Yeah.
It's a personal, the personal agenda. It's always something that's going to be pushed onto you. It's not going to be a neutral information that's best for you. Everything is just being clicks right now. So we need to really like tighten up the information we intake and really, like I say, worry about America right now. I'm sorry to be selfish, but we need to worry about America.
Yeah. Yep. I agree with that. That's the one. That's the thing I agree with when, with regard to these, you know, like the critics of Israel and all that stuff, is that I'm not for funding this stuff. You know what I mean? I'm for them having the right to to put the smack down forcefully, and. The UN founded them, and then now the UN is turning on them. But I guess that's the way of the world.
That's a little crazy now that, I'll have to look more into it, man. But I don't want to hold you up, man. Enjoy your day.
Interesting call, man. Call me again sometime, Byron in Oregon.
Will do.
All right. Take care. Bye. I have a bunch of super chats to get to. The lines are full, guys. Over on Rumble, some Rumble rants. Evil is Still Real says, Jaime calls in, and he spells it completely wrong. Everybody's calling it completely wrong. It's J-A-I-M-E. Come on, learn your Spanish names. This is America. Learn your Spanish names. But anyway, brings up this a subject on air, then concludes the topic with, I don't think about it that much. A classic Hake Report call-tard. Yeah. Interesting. Thank you, Evil is Still Real. Shout out to Jaime. Evil is Still Real says, Bond Network, the only place where they talk about the problem with blacks, and he capitalized the B, and radical homos, and then they cannot seem to understand what the problems with shomo pedos PDF files. We understand that problem. We just say, don't hate them. Everybody all up in arms about the PDFs. Like, give me a break. Are you better than a... I feel like I can't even say Omo Che. I crack myself up. Omo Che's are the worst, says Mildew Grew. Evil is Still Real says, white people are not racist, but they should be. The problem with white people is they forgot that they are racially superior to all others, which I disavow for the sake of the channels, obviously. Bring back racism and society will be healed. Yeah, I mean, what this stuff that they... I used to always call it a false diagnosis that most of the time people call racist for telling the truth or for doing something they have the right to do or for being normal. So be normal and tell the truth and do stuff that you have the right to do in the right way. Nice. Evil is Still Real says, funny that Joe does not think that he is one of the bad blacks that creates the righteous stereotype. Joe, you are one of them that no one wants, says Evil is Still Real. I say he is one of them because he does think the black way. He thinks Obama was a great president just because he was like, had a quote-unquote family. He's married and he has his children, married to Michelle, who is a woman, a lady, a female anyway, and has those children. But he is one of the bad ones. He is one of the bad ones because he thinks black and he is an intellectual and he thinks anger is right. Evil is Still Real says, the first family to move out when the first black family moves in is the family that protected their assets the best. The last families could not sell the house, stayed, and their daughter got R-worded, he says. Whew, that's a terrible thought. Evil is Still Real says, terribly true oftentimes, you know. Well, I don't know oftentimes, but it's quite possible. Blacks have communities, quote-unquote, but they have yet to build a single society, quote-unquote, says Evil is Still Real, which I guess I disavow that, just for the sake of the channels. Evil is Still Real says, the amount of race complains about racism, the amount of race complains about racism is inversely proportional to how decent, smart, and attractive that race is. Blacks easily complain the most. And a lot of them are mildly attractive on the outside, but inward, they're like dirty tombs. Whitewashed tombs. Terrible. Asador says, we're not even a country. America hasn't been a nation in a long time. It's an economic zone, and we're productivity units. America is dead. Yeah. So you won't hear me. Kevin Howe was thinking, oh, Hake, your ilk says that America's over without Trump. But I already said it's over. I just appreciate Trump because he is like all true Christians are, the light of the world. You know what I mean? I have coffees to get to, guys. The lines are full. But it's time for some Easter music because it's Good Friday, guys. Mary Rice Hopkins, Easter Rise Up. This is Hassan's favorite, maybe. Hope you enjoy it. It's children's music. It's Women's History Month, which is silly and dumb. But, oh, shout out to the IG crew. But, Easter Rise Up by Mary Rice Hopkins. Be right back for hour 2. Hang tight.
I can do so many things, I'll tell you the reason why. He rose up from the grave, he rose up from the grave. He is not dead, he is alive, he rose up from the grave. Stand up, turn around, touch the ground, for I am alive. I can dance, I can sing, I can do so many things, I'll tell you.
Shout out to Mary Rice Hopkins, right extremely based and good, says C.J. O'Connell. Extremely based, says John Black. This ain't the right version, though. Oh, you know what? I don't think that that was... No, you know what? I don't think that was... I think it might have been a different song. I should go get that other one. Yeah. That was not the same one. But, yeah. Jesus lives. Eat your heart out. Eat your heart out. Well, I know Joel on Fridays. What he up to? He black. It's just, I think that we're getting ready for the fallen state, and it requires some in advance stuff. This song is a banger. It slaps so hard. Trump can't save America. God will bless a righteous nation and curse an evil one. America is not righteous. Americans are not righteous. Yep. That's why you just got to work on yourself. You skip and work. A lot of you guys are skipping working on yourself and trying to fight for the country and stop the chomos and stuff. Oh, maybe I shouldn't say that word. Let the PDS be PDS. yeah. It's kind of like the blacks who are all into being pro-black, which is race, which is, as others have said, extended family. I think one of my past guests, Richard Spencer, called it extended family, right? But you skip your real family, you know? Don't even have a real family. Don't even have a married father and mother, or be a married father and mother, or forgive your mother and father, you know? Return to your father. You want to skip all that stuff and be like, oh, my black brothers. You skip the basics. Skip yourself. What a mess. Hey, Carver, nice. Let me get to my favorite caller from the sundown town of Dayton, Ohio, before I get to the Super Chats. Maze, how are you doing, Maze?
Hello, James.
Hey.
Y'all about to celebrate the egg and the bunny and all that stuff?
No, we're celebrating Easter.
Really?
Yes.
Who's Easter?
It's Jesus' resurrection.
Bunny or the egg?
Jesus rose from the dead. Happy
what
Easter.
What does a bunny and a rabbit got to do with an egg?
Fun.
Who gave it? Where did that come from?
Hallmark.
Okay.
The pagans. So. The pagans who we turned Christian.
And that's what we're looking at today.
The white pagans who became Christian.
No, whatever you say.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm wondering, like the guy say, what's wrong with the CWPs?
What's wrong with the CWPs?
A little bit, but you didn't go all the way.
CWPs, Caucasian white people.
Yes. Now, why do everybody have to be like the CWPs? Why can't they just be who they are? Sometimes, you know, you try to do stuff, and some people try to do things to try to be like other people, and it don't work.
Have you figured
out as an entertainment?
Yeah, you shouldn't try to be like somebody else.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And then
who are the CWPs trying to be?
I don't know who they're trying to be. Maybe they want to be like Putin. Maybe they want to be like those kind of people, because that's who they can get stuff from and do things with, and can't nobody else do it.
So you think the CWPs, the Caucasian white people, want to be like Putin?
Yes. They seem to be friends.
Are you talking about Tucker Carlson?
Canadians and everybody else. Nobody else can do it.
Are you talking about Tucker Carlson?
No, I'm talking about any of them that do that.
That do what?
That communicate with other people in other countries and borrow money and get all this kind of stuff from them. Nobody else can do it.
Oh, no. Anybody can borrow money and get money from other people. Other nations. America's handing out money like it's Easter eggs.
Oh, really?
Yeah, candy.
But it's entertaining to hear somebody want to do something 10 years from now. I don't even know if they're going to be on this earth 10
years.
Yeah,
I know. What makes you say that? What are you bringing up?
It's always when you're going to do something, what is going to be 10 years from now, what's going to happen?
What are you addressing? What are you saying?
Always living in the way, way, way in the future.
Who's living in the 10 years from now?
CWPs.
The whites?
Yeah.
Well, I am a white, and I'm not living 10 years from now. I mean, I hope that I it would be nice if 10 years from now I live, but I'm not thinking about that.
I always will come with a 10-year spritz, a spray it, of what's going to be happening 10 years from now.
Is that what makes them so great?
Because you're not having babies. That's not the black people's fault.
No, it's not necessarily black people's fault that whites are not having babies. Right.
Whose problem is that?
Whose problem is the... It's not a problem. It's a symptom.
Well, whose symptom is that?
Whose symptom is that? It's the white symptom.
Okay, so why are we being blamed for it?
Nobody's blaming blacks for, except for the blacks who do the R word on whites, but that's not that.
Really?
That's not the norm. It's not the norm for a white woman to be R worded. But a lot of this interracial stuff is happening. But we don't blame blacks. I mean, I think that there's some whites who blame other people, not normal whites.
Really?
Not Christian people for promoting that stuff, but. It's really? Still the whites' fault for doing the individual whites who are interracially doing that.
Oh, I'm telling you, two people won't like because I'm talking to you. They don't like older people to talk to young CWPs because they get upset.
Who?
I don't understand
who gets upset?
Some of the old CWPs that be listening and calling your show.
What? They get upset about what?
Having a conversation with you.
About, me having a conversation with you.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I know. That's
what's wrong with them.
They're angry.
And some of them are not mad enough.
They buy into the lie of anger and irritation.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad I don't have those traits. And then when it
you
comes
don't
to
have, you never get angry or irritated?
Have I been angry on here?
On here? I don't know. But do you ever get angry and irritated?
No.
Have you ever been one to get... You've never gotten angry or irritated ever?
I want something to. I want to find something to make me angry and irritated.
Why would you want to find that?
To see what it feel like.
Oh. So you're perpetually unbothered. You just bother everybody else.
I'm not bothering people. Because what people say.
People get bothered by you, though.
Don't bother me.
I know it doesn't bother you. So you're like this hellish. Are you one of these hellish women who like everybody else dies and you seem unscathed because you just you're like a prickly. Porcupine. You're doing just fine, but everybody you touch gets pricked.
No, I say like it's like bright people that think they're smart, and always trying to act as if they're the smartest thing that was put on the planet.
I learned that you're using bright sarcastically.
There's a lot of them running around, and it's funny, and it's like a woman not supposed to have a conversation with me.
Why not?
That's what some of your callers think.
Oh, right.
Shouldn't be talking. I'm supposed to be in the corner sitting down looking like I'm afraid of the rural. If you've seen the rural, you understand the rural. But if you haven't, you're sitting in the corner just lost and out of place. And when it comes to communities, it's like I tell you, James, some communities you can't live in. Can you? Because you don't
Correct.
Have money to.
Yeah, I don't have that money.
Anybody got the money to live in the communities that they live in?
Yeah. Even some of those people cannot.
About those that can't live there.
Say again.
They're not worried about the people that can't live there. Those people that live in those communities are happy because they can afford to be there. And then
right.
when you said about the black community, what the black community don't have, who said every community belongs to the CWPs anyway?
Say that again. I tuned out. I was looking at the chat.
Okay. Who said that y'all had a community that only belonged to you?
Asmodor did back in the day.
Or?
Yeah, he's a reliable source. He's our resident historian.
He's your resident historian.
Yeah.
Because half of the time, our
is the editorial we because the Hake Report is more than just one person. It's not
really?
Just me. Yeah. The Hake Report is
we
are all the Hake Report.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah,
whatever
so it's our resident historian.
Well, that's a good thing, if you say so.
Did you know that there was such a thing as segregation back in the day?
Yes, it was.
And so it was a white's neighborhood. It was the white's neighborhood.
And there was a black neighborhood, too.
Right, and so the whites bought their... The individual white families had their homes.
And black families.
The men bought the homes.
And bought their homes, too.
Yeah, and then so that belonged to the whites. And
no,
then,
it did not belong to the whites.
Yeah, it belonged to them.
The land belonged to the Native Americans, and I don't know how they end up on with the land anyway and saying it was there.
When you say Native Americans, you mean the white Native Americans, the whites?
Oh, they were not only white Native Americans. There was other color Native Americans, too. Got that wrong, too.
Native American means white Anglo American.
No, it does not.
Yes, it does.
That's what you say. But anyway,
yes, it is.
So America does not belong to you all anymore. Do you know that?
Yeah, that's I know that.
America does not belong. You don't have to.
Am I allowed to say it's been stolen from us?
How did it get stolen? Or was it sold?
The 1965 Immigration Act. Hart Celler, not Christians.
Immigration had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, huh? Part of it.
Explain it to me.
And then also wars, these different wars, and this integration stuff. It's been a long mess going on, but that's the way of the world.
Well, what did the black people have to do with all this stuff that was given away?
They were tools to be used and spoiled and pretending like they're victims so that they deserve some type of reparations, and they don't.
Why do y'all pretend that y'all always got to give us something?
I don't pretend I have to give you anything.
The way you sound, like you were part of it.
Oh, yeah, because they took it from us and gave it to the blacks?
Who took it from you and gave it to the blacks?
I don't know. I mean, that's just what I was told that happened.
That's a good answer. You don't know.
Yeah, thank you.
You're not trying to understand it.
Understand what?
Anytime, it's always complaining, why they got a BET, why they got a HBCUs, and why do they have this, and why do they have, because they started from scratch and built with the hands to get there, because nobody wanted them in there.
Oh, please. People gave them all kinds of money.
It was.
They didn't do that themselves?
Why didn't they do it themselves?
Because other people helped them.
What people?
People who felt sorry for them.
Really?
Yeah.
So you think you're supposed to feel sorry for somebody so you can stay in control of them?
You definitely shouldn't, but that's what happens. Oh, yeah, the people do control them. They are controlled.
Who's controlling you?
God.
Really?
Jesus.
I say God came back tomorrow and y'all would be like, really?
Well, you think Jesus would be like, I never knew you, Hake.
That's right.
Get thee away from me.
That's what y'all. That's what
terrible.
I never knew you because of the sins that you did against me.
Not nice.
Us, me. Well, anyway.
Nice to hear from you, Maze. Happy Easter.
I was just wondering. So when you hear some calling in, why don't they take care of their kids? I send the same thing back to him. Why aren't they not taking care of their kids?
Sometimes people can't take care of their kids. I mean, they're not allowed to.
You tell them that. Why didn't you tell him that when he said, well, the black people can't take care of their kids?
Who?
And the black people can't. Black people can do anything everybody else doing.
You're talking about my caller, David from Ocala?
Yeah, David from Ocala.
He said the blacks aren't taking care of their kids. But David's taking care of his children, I think.
That's not what I'm saying. He's
I don't even know if David has children. I'm not going to dox.
People that don't take care of their kids, that's why they have foster care. Don't they?
What good is foster care?
Somebody else is taking care of them.
A lot of foster care problems are bad.
It's like when you go into a community, you say, what is the community looking like? If you got a community where you got people that are lawn services, and then you got a side that don't have a lawn service where people have to do it themselves, and it's just like you living in an apartment and somebody living in a house, they're going to look down on you just because you live in an apartment and they live in a house.
Oh, yeah, that happens. I have a super chat for you, Maze.
As long as it makes sense.
Big Bump asks if you've ever resided in the South.
Yes, I have.
Which?
Same place Jesse is from.
Alabama?
Yes.
As a child or in your teen years or 20s or
as
what?
As a child. It's where I grew up. That's why I listen to Jesse tell his tall tales.
Yeah. Well, your accent is not necessarily an Ohio accent, so.
Do it have to be?
No, it's fine. No.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you for answering that.
Then and one more, I had one for the one out with Rick. He said Africans live in hoods.
Some of them do. Some of them sleep on their shoulders. Have you ever seen that? They sleep on the ground with their elbow on the ground, and they sleep on their shoulders. It's impressive.
He thinks about watching the Tarzan. Those people don't live like that.
Tarzan?
Let him go visit. Maybe he'll have a snapshot of what it really looked like.
Are there any huts in Africa?
Yes, sure.
Do any Africans live in those huts?
I'm saying depending on what part of the country you're in.
But in those huts that are in Africa, do any Africans live in those huts?
Yes, they do. But what does that got
and
to do
so
with...
And so Africans do live in huts.
How they live, like they all live that way. Are there any tall buildings
I don't think
Africa?
That he thinks that all of them live that
yes,
way.
Good.
You don't know that. You're just saying that. You don't know that.
I've never heard in my life.
You're making an assumption about what you think that Rick thinks.
I wish I could send him some pictures so he can know
how up to date they really are compared to where he is.
Thanks to who?
Thanks to who?
Yeah. Who updated Africa?
Cameron that took pictures of things that you see with your eyes.
Wait, who updated Africa?
Oh, no. Huh?
Who updated Africa? I'm curious.
Who updated?
Yeah.
What you mean?
You said that. You said Africa is up to date. Who updated it?
Maybe China.
Oh, yeah. China's done a lot. But the whites. I think it was the whites.
No, maybe China. The CWP. They're going to do a lot here.
Huh?
And y'all going to just be sending them looking at them, too.
Oh, China? Really? Yeah. They're taking over. They're taking over. It's wild.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you, Maze, for your calls.
Yeah, you have a good one. Yeah. Have the whiner to come on in and start complaining.
The whiner? All right.
You don't like me to call him the other name.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's true.
So nothing upsets me.
Nice. Well,
so
good for
you.
You too. Maze in Dayton, Ohio. Mr. J is a first-time caller, I think, out of Arkansas. Mr. J, thanks for calling and holding. What's up?
Joe from Phoenix called earlier about how that, you know, blacks don't live a different way from white people when it comes to different areas and different
things. Stay close to your phone and be on regular phone, Mr. J.
Yeah, I am. I think it may be the service where I'm at, and it's windy, too.
Okay.
So I live in an apartment complex, okay?
Nice.
And I've been there for about 3 years or so. And foreign exchange students come in from all over the country. And who do you think the only people that we have problems out of?
The Section 8 ones.
Yes. And most of them, if not all, are black.
Yeah.
There's a there's two girls that just moved in probably 3 months ago. The cops have already been over there 3 times.
By girls, you mean young ladies, young adult ladies?
Young adult African-American ladies.
Yeah.
And I've already walked outside, had to break up a fist fight.
Wow.
There's been 2 shootings already. And, like, you can literally look at all the apartments, and you can tell which one the students live in, the white people live in, and the blacks live in.
Yeah.
Because most are cleaned up, but when it comes to the blacks, it's like they just throw trash on the ground.
Yeah.
They don't want to pick up around it and keep it nice. And so when he says, like, those things don't make a difference, it really does.
I think he knows that you're referring to my call with Joe from Phoenix, right, about property values and stuff. I think he knows what I'm talking about. He's just doesn't want to acknowledge I think he's in his head that I'm saying that it's most black people who are like that, and I don't know if it is. But I'm saying that it's typical and it's common, and he doesn't want to admit that for some reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think he knows how it works. He's just, and he's been, wants to be nasty toward our resident historian, because he looks down on people. He thinks he's better than people.
Right. And he comes on kind of like he tries to be calm, but he angry at the same time.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Yeah. So he said you don't have any examples, but I could go on. I could give you a list of them.
Right.
So
yeah.
It does make a difference. And the foreign exchange students, they're usually from like Bangladesh and India, and they are some of the best neighbors ever.
Right.
Like, they're never loud. They clean up after themselves. I mean, it's just a complete difference.
Yeah.
And so, and I've tried to, pull a few of them aside and talk to them, kind of ask them about their stories. And it's just like they just don't care.
Yeah.
Like, hey, do you mind, guys, mind picking up a little bit,
Oh, you're trying to confront graciously people who are...
Right.
But maybe you're doing it too nicely.
Maybe I need to be like, pick your crap up. I mean...
But you don't want to... You want to do it with a clear mind because you don't want to make enemies.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I try to just sit back and watch it, and not feel anything about it.
Yeah. You but definitely... Well, you're trying not to feel anything about it?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
I try to look at it just through a medium lens or whatever, just calm as can be.
Yeah, I'm sure you do want to project calmness, But
right.
I suggest looking at that irritation and feeling that irritation, but not doing anything about it.
Right.
Because you don't want to, because you can't control your feelings. The best way is to overcome them so it doesn't move you. You kind of get used to it, maybe, and then you can see clearly what to do about it, if anything.
And then, like, we've got a fence, like, the area's fenced in.
Yeah.
And there was this guy that, like, what they like to do is they like to kick out the board so they can just cut right through. Well, this guy had boarded it back up, okay, and not even 2 hours later, they had already kicked it open again to walk back through it just so they don't have to walk around. It's just, like, and it's usually people that don't even live there either.
Wow, yeah.
Like, they'll come to the friend's apartment and then just break stuff, I guess, because they can't.
Yeah.
I really don't know. And
it's anger, it's selfishness.
You know what? Go ahead.
It's anger and selfishness that makes them do stuff like that, I think. I was thinking about that.
And we've got a dog park that, it's this little Princeton area just so you can let your dogs run around, you know. They live in an apartment complex, you really just can't let them off the leash, you know. I looked out the window, and he was probably 16 or 17, black kid, just laying on the fence. Like, he had broke the bar that goes around the top, and he's literally just laying in the wire.
So the wire is kind of falling down kind of like a hammock almost, and it's propping him up.
Yeah, that's basically what he made it into, yeah. And so I opened the door, and I was just like, guys, what are we doing? Like, what's the thought process behind this? If you see that it's broken, why are we continuing to lay in it?
Yeah, I think it's sort of thoughtless. Especially when you're young, young people are kind of more thoughtless, and then amplify that maybe exponentially when you're black and your whole culture doesn't care, or everybody around you, you know. Mothers.
And I waited for like 5 minutes, like, just, I was like, maybe he just fell or something. I think if I wouldn't have said something, he'd probably took a nap in it.
Funny. So did he get up and
laugh about it? Yeah, he got up and he was like, get off me, bro. And I just said,
yeah,
I'm not on you, bro, but just get off of it.
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty simple, dude. If it's broke, don't lay on it. So, I don't know. All right, well, I'll let you go, Hank.
Thank you, man. Interesting call. Appreciate hearing from you, Mr. J. Call me again sometime when you can.
All right. Shout out to the chat.
Indeed. Take care.
All right. See you, bro.
Bye. Mr. J. He's just being white. He can't help it. Blacks. That's amusing. Rachel in West Virginia is on the line. Rachel, thank you for calling and holding there. What's up?
Not much. Thank you for taking my call, and thank all you guys for, you know, sharing an open dialogue like you do. That's the way we all learn. But I asked if you guys had seen the Rabbi Shmuley interview. Had you watched it?
No, Rabbi Shmuley was interviewed by this black gal, and he's spreading a whole lot of... He's like a messy person. He likes drama, apparently. Because this woman who interviewed him, this black woman who interviewed him, got herself fired... And from an organization, and now there's all kinds of drama from onlookers, and this Shmuley guy is attacking fellow Jewish people like Prager. I heard Prager, Ben Shapiro, and others, and it's just mess. I haven't kept up with it at all. I've seen bits and pieces of people playing that interview and commenting on it, but. Anyway, go ahead.
I was actually referring to the one he did with Alex Jones just a couple days ago.
Oh, my competitor.
I haven't seen the one you...
Okay.
Right. I hadn't seen the one you spoke of, but what I saw play out and what I recognized was, like, I mean, he implied at one point, he looked at Alex and said that, you know, Alex was not a good Christian if he didn't stand with the Jews.
And, uh-huh.
Like, I think...
But Alex loves the Jews, my competitor. I think.
Well, I mean, what it was he was trying to act like Jewish. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
He was trying to act like, by his words, by implication, was trying to act as though, you know, Jewish people have a monopoly on God. He said, quote, because Jesus looks like him, and because the Jews are the only ones that kept his law and his calendar, that to be a good Christian, you must be on the side of the Jews. And, like, I've ran into this. I grew up here, once again, in the Bible Belt.
Yeah.
My grandfather's a Baptist preacher, and they have this, like, this is at the heart of this, like, red heifer prophecy everybody's, like, fearing. And
red heifer prophecy? Like red female cow? A heifer is a cow, right?
Yes.
Okay, a red heifer prophecy. I haven't heard of that one.
Well, there's this.
But he said we have to be on the side of the Jews. Which Jews? Because he's on a side against other fellow Jews, and the Jews are pretty divided, and then Israel's pretty divided, and then Chuck Schumer's a Jew, but he's attacking another Jewish guy named Bibi Netanyahu. What a mess.
And denominations, like, you know, Christians have many denominations and quite often don't agree. But my point is, like, this is the question it brought to mind that I think is, like, pivotal. Like, do we believe as society, as humanity, that any one group or any one race, any one religion has a monopoly on God?
Right.
Do we believe that?
Because
there are people that believe that Christians and Jews should be aligned, like around here where I live. They believe that Jews are chosen, and he said the reason why he thinks they're chosen is because they're of the bloodline of God, and they've kept his law. But all at the same time, he kept saying we. He was forced grouping. He was using tribal speaking, and his mind was perpetually dwelling on past things, whereas Alex kept offering a dialogue for something new, and he just wanted to attack. His mind kept going back to this apparent insult that Alex had said about Michelle Obama's genitals. And, like, he brought that up 5 or 6 times. If he brought it up once, he wouldn't let it go.
Wow.
But the thing is, like, what I saw play out was we saw a man who has a religion that he validates through others, that he has the franchise religion. He doesn't have a relationship with God. Like, Alex said, no, I'm fine. I can ask questions. I don't hate the Jews. I'm fine with God, you know. And he wouldn't allow for Alex just to say that and move on to a new point.
Uh-huh.
He kept trying to insinuate that to be a good Christian, you must follow the Jews. But here's the thing. The law that they follow and rituals, like in the prophecies that people fear, were finished. Like, everybody's all hung up on the prophecy and certain things happen to happen, but it's all based upon law and signs and seasons, and everybody's all freaking out about the eclipse, and it goes around with all this. But the thing is if people believe that Jesus was the last sacrifice and finished the law, and like you said, it is done. There is no more law. Like, why do we fear this prophecy? Why does Christians and Jews must have this alliance? Like, I don't understand, because, again, Judaism doesn't even have, like, this duality, like heaven and hell, good and evil. They don't have Satan. You know, that was a previous hermeneutic with the Zoroastrians that brought in the heaven and hell, good and evil. Before that, everybody looked at God as the source energy of life. It's what made the difference between a corpse and a living body, and that it filled all life. And that's what the Jews continue today with most of theirs. Now, Christians picked up that Zoroastrian stuff going around in the, you know, before 100 AD and everything, which, in, you know, then is when the whole thoughts of heaven and hell came in.
What's your question again?
It's just a dialogue for, I have my own thoughts and stuff, but is it possible, the question, that any one race or religion has a monopoly on God? Like, this source energy that we're all trying to connect to.
And what prompted this question is this crazy so-called rabbi's sayings. My impression is he seems crazy. I don't know. I haven't even watched him speak, but based on what people are saying about him, if what they're saying is true, if it is indeed factual that he's attacking these people and attacking those people. It sounds like he's on an ego trip, which is to say crazy. So I wouldn't put stock in what he says. I'm sure there are other crazy people who think like him, but a religion having a monopoly on God, is that what your question is? Can one religion or people have a monopoly on God? What's a monopoly? Where we know...
They have the
I don't think so. I'll say
to God that's stronger than the rest of us. They have
I think Christianity is right. I think Christianity is the right religion, but a whole lot of people, most of us, do Christianity wrong anyway. I think God is the only monopoly, you know, here. No, the people don't say who God is. God says who the people are.
people who
have it backwards.
Kind of even going into like all this race stuff, it's like this exceptionalism. It's like, you know, there's this ideal that Jews are exceptionally spiritual than the rest of us, that they're exceptionally tuned into the source, the energy, the universe, better than all of us. And like, people put stock in that. That's why they're paying attention to these prophecies.
Who,
that's why they have.
You're talking about your neighbors, your fellow white Christians in West Virginia. Okay. Yeah, I'm not.
Yes, people I live around, they put too much stock in it. They think it's the end times. They think that the Jews have it all figured out and we're all going to be destroyed.
And these are like boomer Christians, right?
Pretty much, yeah. Like I said, I have a grandfather, a Baptist preacher, who didn't make it out of fifth grade, went straight to the, you know, coal company.
Your grandfather is a pro-Israel, like a Zionist Christian. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it says at a time or two that Israel is a chosen people. It doesn't say Jews. It says Israel is a chosen people.
Yeah.
And I've heard many Orthodox Jews say that, you know.
And then later in the New Testament, it talks about God chose other people from among the nations to become his people, grafted in.
The Gentiles. It actually says that he stopped.
And then he also said that
Jewry
a whole lot of Israel fell away, and just the remnant would remain. So like only like a third or a handful or whatever, I don't know, of Jews are truly will know God. So,
well, Shmuley tried to point out that there were several factions even in that day, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and then you had the Sanhedrin, which were all became in cahoots. They wanted to kill him. There were individuals such as Nicodemus and stuff.
Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a Pharisee who went to and snuck around to see Jesus and listen to him about being born again.
Right, and he was an individual that seemed to have
he was a good Pharisee.
A lot of Jesus's words and stuff, but he did not.
Maybe.
I mean, he had to sneak around to do that. And like, if you read about like what Pilate, the Roman governor, had to say about it, and how like he didn't understand why the Jews were trying to kill their own. He's just a street preacher in Pilate's eyes.
Yeah.
He didn't understand why they wanted to kill him, but he was releasing the Jews from the law, so to say, and the Jews knew that. Like the Samaritan at the well, the Samaritan woman, she was disgruntled and upset. She couldn't go to the temple. She couldn't worship God, and he told
Rachel,
her that, yes,
you're all over the place.
Okay.
Don't worry your pretty little head about all this stuff. I get that you're seeing people are being crazy about it, but it's driving you crazy.
I'm trying to...
You've called into my show before knowing a bunch of stuff and making mind fill up with stuff that I can't even keep up with you or follow it.
Well, I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. Don't be sorry.
On a tangent, I don't believe that I did, but I may have spoken of something out of the Bible you're not familiar with.
No. It's not just stuff out of the Bible. You're talking... I'm quite familiar with the Bible, except for the red heifer.
Well, that's a Jewish prophecy.
It's not Revelations? Because somebody said that Hake doesn't know Revelations. And I read it, but I haven't memorized it.
Well, they mention it in Revelation, but it's a Jewish prophecy.
I wasn't trying to give you permission to go off on it more. I'm just talking about the one thing that I wasn't familiar with.
okay, I believe
it sounds. Are you bothered? Are you bothered by people believing stuff and like falling, being duped or something?
I'm bothered with people being fearful. Yes, I'm bothered about people being fearful.
Don't be fearful about their fear.
Okay.
Doesn't that make sense? Because you're bothered by them being fearful.
Yeah, I'm not bothered by it.
Yeah, you are. You just said you're bothered. Wait a minute.
With you in
your conversation. Wait a minute. But you just said you're bothered by it, and now you're not bothered by it?
Not in the way that you're trying to poke and prod like some emotional response. I'm not bothered in that way that I'll become emotional or angry at you because of any implications on your words. I'm bothered because there are people that I love and care about that are fearful of a story that has nothing to do with an actual relationship that one would have with God. Like, watch Muley and people who need that franchise.
Do you think God is bothered by it? Do you think God is bothered by people being caught up?
No, God puts right in front of people what they need to learn.
Yeah. So you don't have to be a mama to them, to your grandfather?
You think I'm trying to mother my grandfather?
Well, it sounds like you're bothered by the people whom you love.
Because I use my grandfather as a point of perspective that I have experienced something, that I can recognize a thing in another.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean I'm trying to mother him.
I know, but you just admitted that you're bothered by that people are fearful. And you admitted that God is not bothered by it. Or you think you're better than God, that you should be bothered by it?
Are you trying to suggest that I have hubris, that I know more than God?
It's hubris to be bothered by it, yes.
It's hubris to be bothered by people.
You're a woman. You shouldn't be worrying your pretty little head about politics and religion.
Okay.
Even a man shouldn't be like this.
Okay, so you got your machismo platform that you're standing on. Are you insulted? I'm sorry if I've.
I'm not insulted at it. I just know that you're going off. And
I am.
Yeah, you're going off on this stuff.
Okay.
And I encourage you to calm down.
I'm quite calm. You're trying to imply.
I'm implying that when you're rattling off all this stuff, you're getting really into it. You know what I mean?
I understand exactly what you're insinuating.
What
you're
am I insinuating? I'm not trying to insinuate.
I'm just trying to think because my mind is energetic, bringing up topics that I'm so well into this that I've made some ideal around my understanding and intellectualized the thing that none of you poor little people get, and I'm so exceptional. I'm the one that's talking about how exceptionalism is wrong. I do not think that. I don't think I'm better than Shmuley or my grandfather.
No,
I'm teaching you anything. I wanted to share a dialogue.
Right, and I'm dialoguing with you. I'm just trying to say, listen, it's not just pride that I'm accusing you of. I'm accusing you of getting caught up in your head. And you admitted that you're bothered. Being bothered is worry. Jesus said, do not worry. And you're rattling off, filling up my head. You're filling up my head. You know how some people fill up your head when they give you too much information?
I believe I've apologized twice if I was moving too quickly or being too energetic. I'm sorry if I filled
no,
up
no,
your
it's
head.
Not. It's not like it's...
What else would you... What?
I'm just saying, my point is, yeah, pride, but also, I'm saying relax. I'm saying be present, be quiet, be at peace, and don't be in your head. Do you know what I mean by in your head?
I absolutely do.
What does that mean?
To be in my head is to listen to every little thought, every little whim that comes in and out, identify with it, then build a narrative around it. Then inciting like this whole fantastical world around me that doesn't exist. Yes, I understand that.
Nice, nice. And I didn't even mean all of that. I just mean thinking about all this stuff.
Did I describe it too clearly?
No, you described it. You described it too into details that I didn't necessarily mean. You added in details that I didn't necessarily mean or think.
You understand what lost in translation is? How do we share an ideal and set forth a structure? Do you remember the monkeys in the cage anecdote?
Sort of.
About how five monkeys were trained never to climb a ladder.
You're the one who told me that one, right?
Yes.
Repeat it. Repeat this story for me because I like this story. Go ahead.
Okay, there's an anecdote designed by a businessman to get business entrepreneurs and execs to think outside the box. And it's pretty well just an updated version of Plato and the cave allegory. What it did was, in this anecdote, they set up a laboratory. In the laboratory, there's a cage with five monkeys in the cage. In the middle of the cage, there's a ladder. At the top of the ladder, there's a bunch of bananas. So there's scientists outside the cage, and they have a hose of water, ice water. And anytime any monkey attempts to climb the ladder, they spray the monkey with ice water, or the other monkeys, the four other monkeys that's not climbing, they'll spray them with ice water. So it's not but a couple instances of this until the four monkeys, the other monkeys, all of them realize what's going on. So the other four monkeys start socially enforcing and beating any monkey that would try and climb the ladder.
Yeah.
Doesn't take long. Monkeys stop climbing the ladder. This gets boring, and the scientists, they take one monkey out of the original five and insert a new monkey that's never seen this cage, never seen the setup. So, of course, that monkey goes and starts climbing the ladder. Immediately, the other monkey socially enforced the behavior that we don't climb the ladder around here.
Yeah.
But that monkey has never seen a water hose or nothing. So one by one, they remove one monkey at a time, all original monkeys. Eventually, you get five brand new monkeys in the cage that have never seen this water hose. They will not climb the ladder, but if you could pick a monkey up out of the cage and ask them why, they say, well, I don't know. That's just the way we do it around here.
Right. That's so interesting.
And people continually do that. That's exactly what they're doing with all these, you know, ideals and archetypes, and that's just the way we do it around here.
Yeah.
People want to stand on those platforms all the time and trying to understand one another, but when you're coming from a place that is outside of that cage, you have to build an entire new structure so that people know where you're coming from, or everything's lost in translation.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm just talking because, yeah, you mentioned energy. I think your spirit is over energetic, maybe. It's fun talking with you, Rachel, in West Virginia. It's been a little while, though.
Yeah, well, I normally don't engage because I run into such situations, but
situations like happened with us.
I apparently have a problem communicating with other people.
You're fine.
Apparently.
I like talking to you sometimes. Feel free to call in.
I like listening to your guys' conversations because, for the most part, you share openly, and you just try to get information out there, data points. We all need that to triangulate what's going on. And it seems like most people really practice that quiet restraint. They hold back information. They don't like to share. You know, knowledge is power, and, you know. I wish people would not be fearful. I wish they would look around. I wish that they would just consider things and stop just going along with the crowd. I mean, that's the problem.
I know a lot of ladies who are bothered by that, and males who are bothered by the insanity of other people, for sure.
Oh, gosh. Again, growing up here in the country and looking around and you see it in the cities too. It's crazy. It's crazier in the cities, but whatever.
Good to hear from you.
Everywhere.
Good to hear from you, Rachel in West Virginia. Call me again.
Later, Gator.
Bye. I didn't realize that I spent 20 minutes with her. I got to read my super chats, otherwise I will not get to them. There is one line open. We'll see what I can do, callers. Seeker bought a coffee. Do you believe there ought to be regulations in place to prevent bribery? For instance, should the government make it unlawful for a bidder to offer a client a share of the contract they secure from that client, or is it mama? I'm pretty sure that there's some laws in place about bribery, right? Or no? I don't know. Should the government make it unlawful for a bidder, such as on a job, to offer a client, who's a potential client, I guess, a share of the contract that they secure from that client, or is it mama? I don't know. Is it already unlawful or not? I don't know. This is over my head. Maybe you need to be more specific with an instance or something like that. Maybe the government should be... I don't think the government should be handling jobs if you're talking about the government. Star Sion says, Keisha, no! Let my hair go! Hashtag ratchet Keisha. Don't know what that refers to. Don't know to what that refers, but thank you, Star Sion, with your coffee. Who's Keisha? And whose hair? Your hair? Star Sion with another coffee. Hey, Hank, down to earth, humble like Jesse Lee Peterson. Blue heart, purple heart, red or pinkish heart with stars in front of it. Emojis. Thank you, Star Sion. Popcorn's thump keg. Bought a soul shrinking in length coffee. When you talk about race stats in crime, why is it that the crime rates involving white on black is the watermark that you use to determine what's out of control? Like the separate stats that you cite, it's a marker. It's not the watermark. Watermark is not the right word for that, but. Anyway, like the stats that you cite, the APRE stats that you cite. Nice. Thank you for pig Latining it. I just didn't recognize the spelling. Like the APRE stats that you cite, you say the black on white occurrences are out of control because it's higher than the other way around. Well, I could say that there's like supposedly 20,000 according to the Bureau of Justice Statistics in like 2008. And then... essentially, statistically zero, whatever that means, white on black. And there, I didn't compare, was just one and the other. Yeah, the whites, and it seems like the white crime is increasing too. And the blacks are like dwarfing that. Why are the black on white offenses used as your watermark to determine when something is out of control? It's not. You're just misunderstanding. You're making an assumption based on what I'm saying. Which is, you don't assume based on what I'm saying. Well, you do, but check yourself. Check your assumptions. So once black people commit offenses out of white against whites out of proportion to white on black, then it's out of control. What's your standard for say black on black crime? There's four times as much black on black crime as at least murder in terms of murder as white on white murder. It just shows you the stark difference. Like, there's too many white murders, but there's like four times as much per capita of black on black. So just to show you, it's just an example to show you how stark it is. What's your standard for determining when white or black crimes are out of control? Race on race shouldn't be the metric for out of control. Yeah, no, you're just completely misunderstanding me, Popcorn's thump keg. You're making assumptions. I'm just talking about black on white crime. When you talk about interracial violent crime, the blacks are doing 80% of it, according to Ann Coulter. And yet they pretend that the blacks are the victims of this racism stuff. If they were, then you would think that they would be not the perpetrators so much. Anyway, Elixon, a coffee from Elixon over on Buy Me a Coffee. What she means is that when Jesus came, he fulfilled everything that needed to be done. The Jews were chosen to do the rituals to lay the way for the coming Christ. Now we are all saved thanks to God sending his Son to buy us out of hell. The Jews still keep those rituals waiting for the Messiah to save them, says Ellickson 4. Well, I understand that. She could have just said, the Jews don't realize that Christ was the Messiah, and just be done. But thank you, Ellickson, for your 5 coffees. Interesting. What a mess. People are so shallow, you know, not spiritual. Carver bought a coffee. I got some monkeys for Professor Rachel. They did an experiment with 2 monkeys. One wanted to have a dialogue and was glad we are able to have the conversations. The other monkey bonked him on the head with a club and became king of the Planet of the Apes. Thank you, Carver, for your coffee. And this is terrible. Oh, good news. Good news. Joelle Friday is not going to be coming up. This is the second time I've done this. Joelle Friday is not coming up at 11 a.m. here in Los Angeles. We have the Fallen State happening. So I can go 5 minutes longer than I do on Monday through Thursday. So I have a little bit more time. Evil is still real with some more Rumble rants. He gave a few. Hey, why is every single black without one exception? And I disavow that. Violent, low IQ, smelly, unbathed, degenerate, littering, STD factory. You have no monkey in your family tree, but monkeys more. I can't read this out loud. Evil is still real. I need to R-word it. And I disavow R-wording. He says more human than blacks. I disavow that. Come on, evil is still real. You're trying to get me banned or something? You're trying to do to me what Apostle Paul tried to do to one of the Christian disciples after he was the supposed Christian, according to the story that you told me. You're trying to do to my channels. You're trying to, like, throw my channel down the stairs and break its legs. Evil is still real says, I would like your help, Hake, with solving the problem of so many blacks in prison. So what do you think would be the most effective way to increase abortions? What? 10,000%? That wouldn't help it. I mean, because blacks in prison is not a problem. It's a symptom. And abortion, too, is not a problem. It's a symptom. And teen pregnancy. They used to highlight teen pregnancy when I was a kid. Teen pregnancy was not a problem. It was a symptom. But the mama spirit, evil people, the intellectuals, think those are problems, and so they come up with all kinds of immoral ways, shallow ways to fix them. God places the best souls into normal white bodies, says evil is still real. That's funny. Rachel, how Hake is often guilty of being nice when he is trying to say is you are stupid and to shut up, says evil is still real. That's a fact. But I like her. Bill West donated a diamond. They're pushing government policy based on religious belief. Really? Oh, yeah, their fake religion of diversity, equity, inclusion, and other dumb things. Ridiculous. It's not quite 5 minutes till the top of the hour, so I have time for probably one more call. Pete in Alaska is on the line. Pete in Alaska, what's up?
How we doing, man?
Doing fine.
So I wanted to put 2 cents in on the whole racist thing. I think you can break racism down to just fear, hate, and ignorance. You know, you're either in fear of something, or you got a hateful attitude, or you're just plain ignorant. And
that's what you think of is racism when it's a bad thing? Is racism ever a good thing?
I don't know. I'm with Jesse on the whole fact that it just doesn't even exist. It's just
okay. So the people crying,
these responses we have, and that's what, you know, makes people think it's some kind of racist thing.
So if somebody's crying racism, are they fearful, hateful, and ignorant? If somebody's saying, oh, you're racist.
Probably in the ignorant field. If they're doing it in a hateful manner, well, it's the hate.
And right. And if they're afraid of it, then it's fearful.
Fear or something, like, you know, being inferior or whatever.
Right.
So that's that. Yeah, I think I got a little bit of a crush on Maze there. but I don't want to step into your action. I think she's kind of fancy for you.
That's pretty funny, man.
and I was thinking of a war that you could have fought in that would have been a good war, and that's the war on drugs.
Nice.
Yeah.
You know, there were some solid men. Say again?
You could have been one of the soldiers out there consuming drugs and getting them off the streets.
You know who fought the war on drugs? Sheriff Joe Arpaio. He was in the DEA, I think. Drug Elimination Agency. I don't know if that's
to look into that one.
Yeah. A solid guy.
Here was something else. If I could throw a couple videos at you. Your way,
I got to run it, man. I got to run, man. I'll give you two seconds. Go.
Okay. South Africa, Mandela, 1990. It's the town hall.
1 second.
2190. Hollywoodism and ancient bloodlines, contemporary power. Have a great day.
You too. Pete in Alaska. Take care, man. Guys, Justin in Virginia wanted to respond to Maze and Joe. William in California was on hold forever. I wanted to get to him. Rick in Hampton, Virginia wanted to talk about liberal shows and their agenda. Guys, I got to end. This has been the Hake Report. Enjoy more Mary Rice Hopkins, Matilda the Gorilla. Adios, America. Bye. So good. Speaking of monkeys in a cage and apes. Everybody now.
So we'd go strolling through the park. You know the people would laugh and the dogs would bark. They never understood a word Matilda would sing, but Matilda was a doing her gorilla thing. A ooh 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 ah ah ah. A ooh 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 ah ah ah. A ooh 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 ah ah ah. A ooh ah, ooh ooh ah ah ah.
I hate you'll never get a woman this way. This is for Women's History Month.
The circus man came along and he said, Matilda, I know where you belong.
In the zoo.
We'll put you in the circus to sing your songs, and we'll be monkeying around all day long.
A ooh 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 ah ah ah. A ooh 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 ah ah ah. A ooh 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 ah ah ah. A ooh ah ooh ooh ah ah ah.
So good. Adios, America, the Fallen State TV. Nick, the American Anchor Baby, coming up after the Fallen State. Bye.